Want to have your say? Ring Jared on 1300 736 736. Now, back to Waitley.
A great week in football in this country. I've seen Max Rushton everywhere, so I thought I want to finish Thursday with a quick conversation. Stan Sport, he fronts the football coverage. We rely on him. Max, it's great to have you back on the program.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, now, you've been the ultimate double agent. I have loved watching your past 48 hours with Ange. So you've been on Australian television telling us how this has played out in England. But the real kicker is you've been on English television telling them how it's been playing out in Australia.
The thing is, right, I'm just like, surely there'd be somebody more qualified than me to talk about this. Like, ever since I moved to Australia, people have been asking me about Ange Postecoglou. I've been very honest about this. I had to check who he was when I first got here. But look, it's such a great story, isn't it? It's so wonderful for him, just on a personal level. His journey is fascinating, you know, coming at 5 years old from Greece and then like coming through the Australian soccer system and proving that you can get to the highest level, if you call Tottenham the highest level. It's a great job for him. It's the best job he could probably hope for, the biggest job he could probably hope for. He is an inspiration, right, to coaches, all the coaches, young coaches in Australia, to say, look, if you keep working and you keep overcoming these obstacles, and he's seen these obstacles before in Japan, in Scotland, and now in the Premier League, he's heard these things before going, hang on, he hasn't really done anything. And actually, when you dig a little deeper, this is a great football manager. You know that. I know that. I think as well, and you know, as you said, I've been everywhere talking about this. I'm not being paid. People have been saying, what cut are you getting for this Ange job? It's not that I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart. I think there is there's a bit of a void in men's football where you've got Sam Kerr, who is one of the best footballers in the world, right, in the women's game. But there are no elite level socceroos right now. So what Ange represents more than just a football manager, you know, he's representing Australian men's football. And I think it's a wonderful appointment. It's what Tottenham need after Jose and Conte and managers who criticise referees and throw their players under the bus in public. Here is a guy that takes responsibility, that brings people together. It's no guarantee of a success because you can never guarantee success. And what is success when you are sort of the fifth, sixth biggest club in England, right? They should be finishing about fifth or sixth. But I really believe in him. He's got a massive job to do, but he turned it around very quickly at Celtic, and I'm utterly fascinated to see what he does.
What do you detect in your English conversations? Is there a level of fascination? Are they open-minded to it? Are they really curious about what's going to unfold?
I think, you know, once you get past really angry, you know, Brian 7164, you know, proud dad, Brexit is best on Twitter. Once you get past that sort of rage about anything, any change, there is actually a real sense from a lot of Tottenham fans that here is somebody that wants to play attacking football, which is something that Tottenham haven't done since Pochettino, really. You know, possession-based football, keeping the ball, midfielders who are creative and pass the ball forward. And once you speak to those Tottenham fans who just want somebody who wants to be there, for whom this is a step up, who really can sort of bring everyone together, and I've said that already, but that is really it's sort of total juxtaposition from what you had from Mourinho and Conte, who were born winners, who demanded the best players, the most expensive players. I want this right now. And if not, you're not good enough for me. Like they were doing Tottenham a favour. Here comes a man. It is the right step in his progression, right? And he signed a 4-year deal, and he doesn't normally sign those sort of contracts, that sort of length. So hopefully, and you never know with ownership, and okay, you've got to start reasonably well because it's an unforgiving business. They will give him the time to build what he needs. There are big questions about Harry Kane. Will he stay? Will he leave? I think either way, it will work for Ange. Either he has one of the best centre forwards in the world, or he has some money, and the expectations drop a tiny bit more for him, and so he might get a bit more time.
If we just, let's just do one piece of forecasting. If Ange won a trophy for Tottenham, what would it mean?
Yep. Oh, well, it would be enormous because Tottenham don't win that many trophies, right? The last trophy was 2008. Look, you saw it this morning with West Ham, right? West Ham hadn't won a trophy since 1980. You know, 2008 is sort of quite a long time ago. It's getting to a stage now where it's not once in a generation, but, you know, once every 15 years, that's a long time to go without winning silverware. But Tottenham actually haven't won that much silverware. over, you know, over their lifetime. They've got a wonderful history. My dad, who is a big Spurs fan, talks to me all the time about Jimmy Greaves and the 60-61 team and the 50-51 team and wonderful footballers. But if he was to do that, he would be instantly put in, you know, he'd be making history for Tottenham. He'd be making history for Australia as well. So I've said this to you before, haven't I? He's just one bloke. It's ridiculous that the sort of hopes of the nation rest with him. That's kind of how football is. If he's a success in the Premier League, it will open doors to other Australians because there is this weird, I've said sort of xenophobia before, but I don't know what it is, you know. People in the English game, listening to people with Australian accents or American accents, they instantly go, that doesn't sound right. I'll happily listen to Australians talking to me about cricket because they know everything, because they win. But if you start talking about football, I'm not sure. So look, he is a role model and he's a pioneer and he will inspire people. The fact that whether he's successful or not will define success for other people is sort of silly, but it's kind of the way football is.
Max, how's your morning been on Stan with West Ham United winning Europa?
It was great. Actually, the game wasn't that great. There was probably one real piece of quality, which was Lucas Paquetá's pass to Jared Bowen in the last minute as I walked through departures at Sydney Airport. but it's like we were just saying for, you know, Spurs winning the trophy. For the West Ham fans, right, who haven't won a European competition since 1965 when Bobby Moore lifted the Cup Winners' Cup, they haven't won a trophy since 1980. You know, that is once in a generation. We had cameras at the Madison Hotel in Sydney, right? And the fans were going wild. You know, they have been getting up at 2 in the morning for their entire lives to watch West Ham never win anything. Mm. So to actually have a trophy, to see their captain, Declan Rice, lift the trophy, to sing We Are the Champions, like I said on air, like, do they even know the words?
Yes.
To have those moments as a football fan, it's sort of, you know, because the hope kills you, right? Most of the time, none of us win. Most of the time, none of us get that opportunity unless you support one of the sort of big 4 or 5 teams in any elite sport, really. So for those fans, it is wonderful. For Declan Rice, the captain, it's probably his last game for West Ham before he goes to Arsenal or Bayern Munich or, you know, someone a bigger side. It's a really, really, it's a beautiful moment for those fans. There was a bit of trouble. Some West Ham fans threw a bottle of water and hit one of the Fiorentina players in the head. His head was bleeding, had to be bandaged up. And, you know, I hate it when people just say it's a tiny minority. Like, anyone who's been to a football match knows that every set of fans has some set of morons who are part of it. And that really, that detracts from it. What's important is not to take away from those real fans. And we chatted to the chair, actually, of the Sydney Hammers, and he made a really good point. Now, this is for David Gold, one of the owners who passed away this year, for Bobby Moore, who passed away far too young, for Dylan Tombidis as well, the young Australian who lost his fight with cancer 8-9 years ago, you know, who played at West Ham and played, you know, a sort of international underage levels for Australia. You know, those people who are no longer with us, but who really represented that football club. This is a huge moment for West Ham, and I'm totally delighted for them. And their manager, David Moyes, he's managed over 1,000 games, and this is his first trophy. And, you know, he looked like someone who didn't really know how to dance and how to celebrate. But who cares, right? What a great moment for him.
Lovely. All right, so now the main event is 5 o'clock Sunday morning, UEFA Champions League trophy, Manchester City, Inter Milan. You've guided us right through this competition on Stan. What does the pinnacle moment look like?
Well, I'm yet to find anyone that can find a convincing argument for Inter Milan winning this trophy, but you never know. Manchester City have been so good as the season has progressed. They've got better and better. You know, Pep Guardiola quite often tinkers with his side. He hasn't in these last couple of months. I could tell you the starting lineup now. They've got players who are at the absolute top of their game. Jack Grealish has never played like he has. Bernardo Silva is playing brilliantly. Ilkay Gundogan is in the form of his life, another 2 in the FA Cup final last weekend. You've, of course, got Kevin De Bruyne and Erling Haaland. Inter Milan will have to pull off a huge, huge shot if they're to win. But City have never won it. Pep hasn't won it for a long, long time. Never won it at Bayern Munich. It's been since 2011, I think, the last time he won it. So if Inter can stay in the game and just stay in it and stay in it, and it'll be a very defensive performance from them, and maybe nick a goal, if they can just keep it going for long enough, the seeds of doubt might set in with City. You know, like, I think you always support the underdog. I'd be wonderful if Inter Milan could do it. It'd be great. You know, they've had Roma have lost the Europa League final. Fiorentina have lost the Conference League final. It'd be great for Italian football if they could get a win. Having said that, this City team could win the treble. It could make history. They are one of the best teams to ever play the game. You know, they. A lot of people have real misgivings about where the money comes from and state ownership, which is a longer conversation that we might have another time. But in pure footballing terms, the football they're playing right now is absolutely sensational.
All right, Max, have a great final. Just before you leave me, I know you've got a plane to catch. How are you feeling about the Ashes, just as our foundation point?
I think that ball nips about, doesn't it? Jimmy Anderson's still young. I'm delighted for Moeen Ali. I think he's a wonderful, lovely man. That's an interesting, you know, just shows the lack of depth in our sort of spin department. Losing Leach is a bit of a blow, actually. But the way we've been playing recently, it's pretty wild. And, you know, we're just going to... And Moeen Ali adds to the batting, right? There's another player that can just take a game away from you quite quickly. I was at the MCG for those... I don't know how long it took Scott Boland to get all those wickets, about 5 minutes. You know, I was hoping for a bit more play than that, but I had a lovely afternoon in the Standard in Detroit afterwards with my Australian mates ribbing me. And I was at Channel 9 when that first ball of the series and Rory Burns got bowled around his legs. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be a long one. So hopefully it's better than that. But it's not easy to win away from home in the Ashes, is it? So I'm hopeful, but never confident.
Great stuff. Max, terrific. Thank you. Let's chat Cheers. Throughout the winter.
Cheers, mate.
Max Rushton, the UEFA Champions League final between Man City and Inter Milan on Sunday morning from 4:30, live and ad-free and on demand in stunning 4K UHD. To start your 7-day free trial, visit stan.com.au/football.